everyone, and welcome to episode 7 of Radio Radar. I'm your host, Hollander Cooper, back from what I was doing last week.
Yes.
That's exactly, that's how I'm describing it. You'll find out later what I was doing next week. It involves being in Boston and stabbing British people. Like I said, I'm your host, Hollander Cooper. Here with me in studio is...
My intro is much better. Last week's. I was the host, Tom Magrino.
Would you expect me to listen to a podcast I'm not on? How Jesus. Am I supposed to know? For all I know, it could have been 2 hours of dead air.
It was like, hello, my internet friends. Welcome to the second episode of Radio Radar.
It was the second episode last week.
I said a lot of things that weren't true last week.
I'm not surprised. Also with us is Lucas Sullivan.
Hello.
Back from Japan, yes. Bleary-eyed.
The motherland.
Oh, you are part Japanese.
Yes.
Part Japanese, all handsome.
Thank you so much.
Fine,
I really
fine,
appreciate
man.
It.
So we have a stacked show for you this week. We are down to 3 people. BT Dubs, expect sometimes in the next few months we're going to be down to 3 people because we are stupid busy with review season. I currently, as soon as we're done this, I need to go play a game that I'm not allowed to talk about so that I can quickly finish it. And immediately start another game I'm not allowed to talk about.
That seems fair. A programming note, we will very likely be moving from Wednesday to Friday.
Yes.
Because...
For a number of reasons.
Yeah.
Number one, we want to.
Yeah.
Number two, people have asked us to specifically. And we
User request.
And three, was there a three?
It would have been better.
Yes. We did Wednesday because we had other stuff going on. Game Club on Friday, which is still going to be Friday every few months, but it's not – we're not as – we think that this show would be better on Friday.
Yeah.
So you have all weekend to listen to us lie and make shit up.
Right.
I think that's kind of the real reason.
The real reason.
Also, some other changes may be happening to the show. Minor things, formatting things. You'll see. Nothing drastic. Don't freak out, Lucas.
We'll probably get rid of the interview.
Probably going to get rid of the interview.
Mostly because the interview that I did this week probably is broken.
Yes, that's the. It's almost like it's like you ever. Yeah, we can't do one this week, and we kind of like that.
Yeah, right.
We still may do some, but don't expect the interview every week. Other little things coming. You'll see. We're still going to say poop a lot.
One thing that won't change is the top 7.
No, it will not. And let's jump right into it. This week's top 7 is the top 7 most badass characters of the generation, current generation.
Yeah. And this – there was a lot of debate on this one.
There was.
Especially with this first entry.
Yes. So first entry is number 7, Cole McGrath from Infamous.
Right.
Now, also note something that a lot of people even in the comments didn't get even though it was explained very explicitly in the first slide. Current generation.
Right.
Despite like Master Chief and Kratos – both having current generation games, they are last generation characters. These are new characters. There are so many people like, how dare you leave off Kratos? It's like he was on a PS2 game. He's right. Not just showing up for the current generation doesn't make you current generation character.
Reading
but Cole McGrath
of Infamous fame.
Of Infamous and Infamous, more importantly, Infamous 2 fame.
Right.
Infamous 2 infamy. yeah! Is on this list because Cole McGrath is a badass. You're not a fan of Cole
He's
McGrath?
A bike messenger.
He starts as a bike messenger, and then the messenger bag
Courier.
He's carrying has an explosive in it that levels the entire city.
I have never met a bike messenger that wasn't a douche.
That's fair, but that's in the – I'm not going to defend Cole McGrath circa Infamous 1 because I don't even like Infamous 1 that much.
Okay.
Infamous 2, they legitimately switched voice actors to somebody who has more of a grizzly voice like this. Sounds awesome. And he is so much cooler as a character. They, like, did a complete overhaul of his personality. And depending on the paths you take, you're either a good badass who not only shoots lightning mm-hmm. and can throw a tornado of lightning, but you also have the ability to shoot, like, ice and freeze people. And if you're a bad badass, you have the ability to, like, teleport around and summon monsters and stuff. But no matter how you play him, he is still a badass, and the kind of badass that still has time to sit down with his friend on the rooftop.
Yeah, you like that scene.
It's so good. In Infamous 2, it's like near the end of the game when like it's like the calm before the storm. The shit's still going crazy. He goes to the roof with Zeke. They sit down on a couch where like the same. They have a couch and a TV where they go every so often.
Okay.
They both just crack open beers and like his like phone starts going off like crazy or like his walkie-talkie, and it's obviously like someone panicked, and he just like leans over, turns it off. and they just sit there in silence watching like a cowboy movie. And it's so like it's so common.
Lovers?
No, they're not lovers. They're just BFFs.
Calm before the storm.
Calm before the storm.
I felt that Alec Mason should have been number 7. Alec Mason of Red Faction fame. The most recent or
Red Faction Guerrilla.
Guerrilla, not Armageddon.
No.
Alec Mason of the I am a leader of a Martian uprising and I wield a motherfucking sledgehammer.
I'm not denying
fully destructible environments, Alec Mason.
The thing is
the man could bring a building down on top of anyone with his sledgehammer.
But that's almost not an
the
Alec
man
Mason
could level
thing.
A planet on top of anyone. With his sledgehammer.
I'm not going to deny the badassery of Alec Mason.
The man was a mine worker who was like, you know what? I'm in outer space. I don't care if they can just cut off the oxygen. I am leading a revolt.
Here's the reason we didn't put him on the list. Yeah. Alec Mason doesn't exist. He is.
Excuse me?
He is a physical manifestation of an object. He is the portcullis for you to smash buildings down.
No, that's bullshit. You could say the exact
hammer.
Same thing about lightning out of your hands.
But the difference is Alec Mason has no personality. It's what you do as Alec Mason is cool. Alec Mason as a character is nothing. He's a blank
slate.
What
more do you need to know about him other than he wields a sledgehammer?
He doesn't wield a sledgehammer. You
to
do.
To bring a building
he
up.
Is, he has no personality. It's almost like why Gordon Freeman wouldn't probably be on this list. You are Gordon Freeman, and I'm sorry, Tom Agrino. You are not as badass as you think you are. Meanwhile, Cole McGrath is a cool character that also allows you to shoot lightning at things.
So are you saying that no first person should be
no because that game no that but Gordon Freeman doesn't really have that much of a personality.
I'm just looking at our list right now. Do we have any first person characters?
No first person characters.
Wait, I'm blanking now. Is Red Dead Redemption first person or third person?
Third.
Oh yeah.
And so is Alec Mason. That game is also he is in third person.
Interesting.
But that's mainly because there aren't that many new first person shooter IPs this generation.
That is true.
Booker from Bioshock.
Black?
Maybe. No.
Was that even his name?
Yeah.
He's that game's not out yet.
Oh, yeah.
Black was last generation. It was terrible. And
was it last? I thought it was
terrible. Bet you a dollar you can't tell
Xbox.
Me the name of the main character.
I just remember it being like
body,
FPS porn
Bullet
or
Body Count was this generation, and it was the spiritual successor.
Bulletstorm.
Yeah.
Bulletstorm's
Nathan,
character.
No.
He's not bad. He's not a bad one. Soap almost made the list. He was sort of the honorable mention.
Right.
Also, as a note, new thing with top sevens moving forward, and I'll bring this up again later, not only can you tell us in the comments why we're assholes that forgot a game, but at the end of the week every week, we're going to update it with an honorable mention, the community choice.
Oh, we're doing that.
We are doing that from now on. Every Friday, you can see. So if you and not only that, but we're going to include quotes from commenters explaining
Sweet
why that character
Jesus.
Should be on there.
So it's like a top 7+1.
It's like a top 7 with an honorable mention.
Right.
Number 6 is another character from this generation. Again, important part
Isaac
of this.
Clark.
Isaac Clark from Dead Space.
I refuse to play any Dead Space game because they're scary. I'm sorry. I am not a proud man.
Wait.
So no. I cannot speak to how badass Isaac Clark may or may
so,
not be.
So here's the basic, mildly spoiler-filled run-through of Dead Space. So Dead Space 1... You are legitimately – like you like sort of you said where Alec Mason was like he's just a miner and Isaac Clarke is an engineer.
Yeah.
He finds out that there's a mechanical issue on a ship that his girlfriend's on and that they lost contact, so he agrees to go fix it. He gets there and finds out that the entire ship is overrun by zombies and monsters.
Yeah.
Part of the thing that those zombies and monsters do is in almost Call of Cthulhu, they drive you insane. He doesn't go insane. He fucking pulls up his engineer pants – uses his engineering tools, which happen to be good weapons.
Right.
And
his strategically dismembers the fuck out of that ship.
There's a boss in that game. Like, it was like you keep going through this one level and it's like, I'm detecting a giant presence. And I'm like, all right, big, like, building-sized enemy or whatever. You get to it. It's like the size of, like, imagine if you put the Empire State Building on its side. Like the entire building, and he's just the entire wall.
Oh, God.
And it's like, fucking bring it on. And you know what Isaac Clarke does? Brings it on.
Yeah.
And then in the second game, he starts off in an insane asylum.
Oh.
And just fucking breaks out. He's like, I don't have time for this. There's shit going on. And then he just like He continually fights monsters that by all rights should kill him and should drive him just insane. Everyone around him is like, early in the second game, somebody just takes a saw to their own head.
Wow.
Like, they're so insane. And he's just like, I really don't have time for this insanity bullshit. I have to continually save the universe. Also, he has an Iron Man kind of suit.
He does.
And in the second game, he was even like, you know what? I don't care about these assholes that are telling me I'm not supposed to speak. Every so often, I'm going to pop my helmet off, and I'm going to fucking soliloquize about what's going on, and I'm going to talk to people and save everything.
Wow.
So he is such a badass. Also, play Dead Space 2. And I'm looking at you because you are now the portal to me telling everyone who hasn't played Dead Space 2 to play Dead Space 2.
Yeah.
Just play it.
I'm not going to play
it. It's more...
I'm a coward.
My favorite thing about the Dead Space series is they improved one of my big issues with the first game that made it less scary, where if you, enemies... You'd kill an enemy, and as soon as they died, an item would fall out. In Dead Space 2, they made it so after they were dead, you had to, shoot them again or stomp on them, which is good because, like 1/50th of the time, they'll play dead.
Oh,
so
God.
You'll just be like, oh, he's dead, and then you'll go to walk, and he'll just be like, surprise! Oh. That's so good. Number 5, the one most people have an issue with.
Damon Baird?
Damon Baird from Gears of War.
Your boy right here.
So,
also, just FYI, I wrote this. That's why I'm taking, team I'm writing and fuck everything.
You've got 4 Gears of War characters you could have chosen. Dom,
who
killed his wife. Marcus Fenix, who is the hero-ish.
Yeah.
Coltrane, who is just a large black man who moved... F you up for no apparent reason.
And then there's Damon
and then there's Baird, who's the douche.
Yes, Baird.
Which is the second time I've used the word douche in this podcast. Both warranted.
I'm not going to deny Baird's douchiness.
Okay.
But the thing that makes Baird special, and I've had discussions about this with lots of people from many different outlets, and it's become apparent to me that he is not only the most badass of the Gears of War characters, but he is also the true hero of the series. Because that series is full – because so you have Marcus, who is – the only thing he has going for him is the fact that he's voiced by Bender.
Yeah.
Like when it comes down to it, he's voiced by Bender and Jake from Adventure Time, and that's his thing. You have Dom, who's also cool voice, and he has some more personality – but he's almost a little too heartfelt.
And he's a little misogynistic.
A little bit.
Is he?
He kills his wife.
Well, he kills his he kills his wife because she's...
She's like asking him to.
Till death do them part.
Yeah.
Sickness and health.
We don't know what the wedding vows are on... What's the name of that planet? Sarah? Is it
Sarah
it's
sounds
Sarah.
Right.
Sarah. Yeah.
Gear.
And then you have Cole, who is badass, but he's also a walking stereotype.
Yeah, he is.
All the three of those people couldn't... think themselves out of a paper bag.
Yeah.
They consistently get in situations where they're just like, we're stuck! And then Baird is just like, all right, idiots, hold on, let me hack open this door. There's a part early on in Gears of War 3 where they're like, oh god, there's a giant monster and he's going to destroy everything. Baird finds a cage full of tickers and kicks it onto the giant monster and it's just like, happy birthday! Boom! And they're just like, oh, Baird, thanks, I guess. And
we had all these bullets and guns and rocket launchers.
And they weren't killing him. And it's like the reason that Baird is a douche is because he'll save the day and never let you forget it.
Yeah.
But he still is, and I think Henry Gilbert has referred to him often as a glorified door opener because the situation is always like, the door's stuck! Baird, open it! But if Baird wasn't there to open the door, no one would have, and they all would have died! So...
You need people opening doors.
He is...
I just like smarmy characters.
He's the one who knocks. I'll say it. I don't care. He's the one who opens that fucking door. So yes, Baird, who I am, and the other excuse I have is... I'm pretty sure Epic is spending a lot of money on focus groups, and focus groups don't lie. And Baird is in charge of the next Gears of War game.
Oh.
I kind of would have liked to see Cole as the hero of the next one.
They're the duo.
They're not on equal footing though, right? In terms of
dude, you really don't have to bring race into this. That's all I'm saying. I really don't appreciate it. Not on this podcast.
Number four,
John Marston. From Red Dead Redemption fame.
I didn't play that game.
I'm sure you didn't.
I played it.
Yeah. John Marston is a badass because he's probably one of the only... I mean, Cole McGrath shoots lightning.
Mm-hmm.
Isaac Clarke has an Iron Man suit.
Sure.
Damon Baird has bleach blonde hair and a chainsaw sword.
Frosted tips.
The other people on this list all have some kind of superhuman abilities in some way. John Marston's just a dude. I mean, he can slow down time.
Yeah.
But that's sort of
it's
like...
It's just a reflexes thing.
It's a reflexes thing, and that's also like double jumping. Like, everyone in video games can slow down time.
Yeah.
But so his family's in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like, all right.
The only way to solve this situation is for me to kill 7,000 people. And I'm going to do it because I love my family.
But also, every person he walks by is like, John Marston, my horse was captured. I need someone to save it. And he's like, yes, ma'am, I will. And then he goes and he saves the horse. And then he comes back and they're like, have my babies. And he's like, I got a wife. And then he leaves. Like, he is just consistently... Like, it's like, hey, John Marston, I need someone to help me move. And he'll be like, I'll be right there. And he kind of fucking shows up and you're like, going to buy pizza?
John Marston.
You're like, going to buy pizza? He's like, I already brought a pizza. So, yeah, he is essentially good guy John Marston. And that's, it's almost like he gets the job done sans superpowers.
Right.
I mean, with murder. But sans superpowers.
With legitimized
the means to an end.
And he's doing it for his family.
Right.
Or for a random person that asked him to do it.
Why not?
Also, in the zombie DLC, there's a part where a really racist guy is talking to him, and he literally stands there and watches as he's eaten alive by zombies. And I know that's not canon, but I'm still counting it because it's awesome.
It's pretty good.
I think I played more of the zombie DLC than I did the actual game. I played a lot. I played a lot of the game, but a lot of it was just spent riding full speed on a horse and then shooting the horse in the back of the head and then just flipping and tumbling through the air.
Yeah. Now, as with every other Rockstar game, I play that game not to play the game, but to play the game.
Yeah, which is weird because I actually play GTA to play the game.
Yeah,
like an idiot. But yeah, John Marston, definitely a badass, a family man, and a badass. Number three,
Bayonetta.
Bayonetta, the only female on the list, though we didn't want to be sexist with this list and not include any ladies.
Right.
But at the same time, we didn't want to affirmative action like be like, I guess Noriko from Heavenly Sword gets on the list.
I mean, yeah, the only other one that we were kind of considering was Shell from Portal 2. But as with Gordon Freeman and all other first person,
not
people,
all. Like, I mean, if
largely
like Call of Duty characters almost made it on, but like Soap really didn't because he's not. Really, I guess first-person shooter games. It depends. Like the guy from Bulletstorm, I say was probably closer. But Bayonetta has heels that are actually guns, and her weapons are named Scarborough Fair, which is just fucking beautiful.
That's pretty awesome.
And she is a witch. That her outfit, which is made of tight leather, isn't actually made of tight leather. It's made of her own hair, and she beats up enemies with her guns and her hair, and as she turns her hair into cooler monsters, she gets more naked.
Yep.
Now, that's not necessarily what makes her badass.
That takes guts.
The thing that makes her badass is the fact that near the end of the game, you actually ride on a missile.
Yeah.
That game could have literally just been a downloadable game with that in it, and she'd probably still have the same placing.
Doesn't that
I forget.
In True
I didn't go
Lies?
Back and I didn't go back to check, but did you put in the Doctor Strangelove name check?
I believe I did.
Oh,
yes. So she literally, and also that level goes on way too long and isn't very good, but it's still so badass.
Yeah.
Like, it's one of those things where you're like, sweet, riding a missile. And then like 20 minutes later, you're like, Jesus Christ, I can't believe I'm still riding this missile. Who thought this was such a good idea? It's like,
because
we get it. You
geniuses.
Played Panzer Dragoon and you're like, we should ride missiles. But yeah, Bayonetta is awesome. She has a cool style, a nice swagger to her.
Yeah.
And I'm super excited for Bayonetta,
swagger
too.
is a thing that isn't lacking, I'd
no.
say.
No.
In the world.
It is not.
In the world?
It's lacking in the world. I thought you meant from her.
No, not.
Swag.
Not from
the world definitely needs more swagger and more...
And Bayonetta brings it.
More swagger and more hustling. And she brings both.
Yeah. And we'll be bringing both again.
On the Wii U exclusively. Wii U,
which I'm not entirely keen on, but...
Honestly, I think the thing that needs to – and we're not really going to talk about that later, so let's do it right now. But the fact that Platinum has said, like, this game wouldn't be made if not for Nintendo.
Yeah.
So
it's hard to
just deal with
it. Yeah. Follow games.
Number two, Ezio Auditore de Firenze.
Ferengi.
God, I want somebody to make the Photoshop Ezio Auditore da Ferengi. I want that so bad. I want that fan art to be everywhere. I want it to be the cover of Assassin's Creed 4.
I don't think I got that joke.
Oh, it's such a good joke. It's a terrible joke, and it's such a good joke. Oh, my head hurts about how good that is. Anyway.
It's a Deep Space Nine joke.
It sure is.
Oh, my good God.
I'm just imagining Ezio's outfit on him.
Wow.
With the butt forehead.
Ezio! So Ezio is one of the only characters beyond,
he does have
like,
a butt forehead.
He sure does. One of the only characters besides like Fallout 3 that you actually play from birth. The tutorial of that game is you being born.
Which I always thought was weird.
Well, it was. It was really weird. But Ezio, you play him as like a young, like a teenager. I like how when they made him as a teenager, they still modeled like the same character as an adult. Almost like when in a movie, they have to like de-age someone to be the young version. Even though they totally could have made a completely different character. But you play him as of like 17 until like 65.
Dang.
He has three games, all to himself this generation, which not enough people point out the fact that Ezio has had his own trilogy.
Yeah.
Over the course of 3 years, all of the games were great or good.
Why do you think they got away from Altair?
Because Altair was super boring.
Yeah.
He was like,
it's such a more interest. Or
Altair,
maybe not more
Altair
interesting,
was fueled by duty.
Yeah.
And his duty was like, you're an assassin. And he's like, I guess I am. And meanwhile, like, I remember when they announced it, they like announced the second game with that awful image of him just standing there with his hands out like he was in Flashdance. Yeah. They announced it, and then he's a romantic character. He's Italian. He's a lover. He's like, he's fiery. And then when you play him, it's like, man, I didn't expect to like this more, but he's like super interesting character. And he stabs so many people in the throat.
He does stab the people in the throat.
Not only that, but if you really don't want to know a mild spoiler from the end of Assassin's Creed 2, cover your ears.
I'm out of here.
He fist fights the Pope.
Warranted.
In the Vatican. So he actually goes
in
there.
The
he
the
goes
Vatican.
There and he's like the Pope. And at this point, the Pope isn't like a super Pope or anything. He has a staff that's kind of magic, but you still like, you're like, all right, like 80-year-old Pope, I'm going to punch you in the face a whole bunch. And then you do it. And that's the last boss battle of the game. Not enough people realize that you fist fight the Pope in Assassin's Creed. And that, I mean,
because it's hard to get through.
He's an evil
an Assassin's
Pope.
Creed game.
They're super long. He's I mean, like 20-some hours. But he's a super cool character. He stabs a whole lot of Templars. Yeah. He saves a lot of lives. And even as a 60-year-old, he's more agile
than I'll ever be.
Than you'll ever be. Lucas may still get there.
Yeah.
How's your parkour classes going?
It's going pretty well.
They going hopping?
Dude, I don't know how they do some of that stuff.
Well, just ask your trainer. That's your auditory day for Engie. I want him to be the mascot of my life. But yeah, Ezio is awesome. I'm sort of sad to see him go, but so far, Connor, from what
Connor's
I saw, from
the
what I
mother freaking man.
From what I saw after I played the game for 3 hours last week,
ooh,
as we'll get to later, Connor may reach that level, but right now Ezio is the top of the
he's
badass
the cock
assassin.
Of the walk.
Food chain. And number one, which shouldn't be a surprise to anybody who's ever read anything on Games Radar, Garrus from Mass Effect.
Doesn't he have a last name?
Val Kilmer. Valencia. No.
Vicarian.
Vicarian. Valencia is.
Valoria.
Valoria is Lorenzo's last name.
I don't know.
Garrus. One of the.
Garrus.
Garrus is a Turian. In the first game,
what can I say about Garrus? He is a Turian.
He's a Turian who, in the first game, joins your crew, and in the second game, stays on your crew, and in the third game, if you didn't get him killed at the second game, stays on your crew.
No spoilers for 3, please. I still got to finish that.
No, I'm saying in Garrus, everyone can die in 2.
Yeah.
And he is so loyalty wise, completely there with you all the time. But the thing that makes him badass, in my opinion, besides the fact that he's just cool and funny and just remarkably handsome for a weird bug alien.
He's really, really handsome.
He has so, like...
I don't know. I want
to put it in D&D
like,
terms.
You are a fine-looking man.
D&D terms, his charisma, probably like 23.
Right.
Human Base. Average is 10.
Yeah.
Just put that... Think about that.
Man has a reptile face with a giant scar.
Mandibles. He's got everything. But in the second game...
But goddamn!
At one point, you're trying to find a guy named Archangel,
yeah,
who's just killing gang members in like the middle of nowhere.
We're like, we got this problem with a guy named Archangel. He's murdering folk.
And then you get there, and he's just like, "Yo, buddy, what's up over there?"
And hang on a second. Pow!
Yeah, and then he shoots everyone, then he's like, "Oh no, no, I'm a mercenary, and I only kill evil gang members."
Right. And by the way, we're about to be stormed, so if you pick up a gun, and then could use some help.
And then you're like, "Yo, man, I'm gonna go save the universe," and he's like, "Yo, you got a spot?" And then you're like, "Of course I have a spot for you, Garrus. I mean, we're totally full up on beds, but you could stay with me in my bed." And he's like, "There's all these empty rooms," and you're like, "Shut up, Garrus." So he's just badass.
Yeah.
He's so badass, it makes me want to leave this room and go write fan fiction about him. That's how badass he
that
is.
Resume writing the fan fiction you were writing before this podcast.
This podcast is cutting into my Garrus fan fiction time. Sort of pissed off about it, so we're trying to
keep this one short.
To speed this up. No, but yeah, he's number one. So be sure to check out GamesRadar's top seven from every Monday evers.
We spend a lot of time on the top seven.
We do, because it's fun to talk about.
It is.
And now, not only can you complain about the choices we've made, but you can influence the community to vote to make your own choice.
Which, it gets pretty heated.
I'll let you
sometimes.
Know right now, one of the front runners is Nathan Drake.
Okay.
I cut him from the list originally because I think he's more of a mass murderer than a badass.
Right. I remember lobbying for
him. He's super charismatic. He's super charming. I just don't know if he's technically badass. But somebody did point out that the things he – even though he's not badass in terms of what he does in terms of like saving the world or whatever, he's badass in like – he's on an airplane and it's falling apart and he does a bunch of badass stuff to survive.
Yeah.
Like it's he's not badass because he's doing – overarching badassery.
He's just really hard to kill.
He's just super hard to kill, and there's something badass about
inherently.
Like a diehard level of badass. Yeah.
No, something
like being able to escape a falling building.
Yes. Like every 10 minutes.
Right.
Spoiler alert?
No. Yes.
I still gotta play this. We may come back to this later, but would Raiden count in his Metal Gear Rising
iteration? No, he would
iteration?
Not.
Because he
Same reason people have said, like, what about Batman? It's like, well, technically Batman's first good game for this generation, but Batman's been around since like 1943?
Don't worry about it. I got this.
27? I'm going to say 1943. I know I'm off. I don't think he fought Nazis.
I wonder how many times a day Batman is Googled.
You know, we could actually look that up.
1939.
I was not far off. Oh, did he fight Nazis?
Detective Comics.
I don't recall him ever.
That was back when he was a murderer.
He was the Batman originally.
He was. And I love when people call him the Batman.
So in his Wikipedia page.
Nipples get crazy hard.
In his Wikipedia page, Nazis are not mentioned.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
That's actually the only Wikipedia page that can claim that. moving on to news. Let's roll through all of the Wii U news at once.
Whoa.
So, first Wii U news.
Mm-hmm. I think
Wii U is sold out everywhere.
Yeah, go for it. Sorry. I was about to say that we did some good Wii U talking last week. But
yeah, but this is all new news. This is all new from the week. So, Wii U is sold out everywhere.
I am not surprised just because it just seems like the way
new consoles go now.
I'm not sure it's a reflection of its popularity as it is a reflection of the pipeline and how much hardware is being released.
Yeah. It's also probably both because the Vita – they weren't in short supply, but I'm sure that there weren't a ton of those available either. But I guess it's probably different for consoles than handhelds.
So it is a good sign for Nintendo that the initial run, the front run, is going to get sold out.
Yes. If you still want one, you can wait in line.
Right. May have a feature coming this week.
Yeah, we might. I'm sort of half plugging that and sort of actually brainstorming. I'm guessing you can just wait in line or wait for Amazon or do whatever else our feature is going to mention.
Well, wait a second. I think something is on. Me and Henry were talking about this. Between Nintendo and Amazon, you can't get a 3DS XL.
You can now.
Oh.
As of like 3 days ago.
What?
We were looking this up a few days ago because the whole thing was everyone's like, oh, maybe Nintendo's not going to sell Wii U's because you couldn't buy 3DSs at all.
Yes.
But as of a few days ago, you can, which is a good sign.
Yeah, I wonder what happened there.
I don't know, but somebody also pointed out that like if you go to every Amazon page for the Nintendo DS, is like, or you can buy a Vita. Like, it's like, whoa, I wonder why there's some bad blood, guys. So the Wii U is selling out online everywhere.
Right, and I remember when the Wii was launching, there was like a lot of speculation as to whether Nintendo was just intentionally constricting the amount that they were making so that it was kind of like creating the demand by limiting the supply.
I worked at a GameStop then.
Yeah.
I didn't work at a GameStop at launch. I worked at a GameStop like 6 months after launch.
Which is going to give you a lot of perspective on Nintendo's.
It is.
Okay.
We got tons in, and
just
people were standing outside every day when we opened. Like, we got them in, like, once a week.
Define a ton. Like, 2,000?
No. Well, I don't know over the course of time. But I know at launch, they got probably, like, 50 or whatever. But then, like, every week, they'd get, like, a dozen.
Yeah.
And there'd be people lining up to get them, but like, because they knew when the FedEx trucks came. And for the about year and a half after launch, we continued to get more. And then, like, every few Sundays, we'd get extra every so often. Every phone call we got was about the Wii. Huh. Like, I'm sure that some of it was Nintendo manufacturing demand, but the fact that the system has sold almost 100 million copies or 100
million
already is a good sign that people actually really wanted to buy it too.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think there was enough plastic for them to turn into Wiis at the time. Like, they were I think, especially because I think Nintendo also knew, like, man, that there's going to be – like, people are going to figure this out soon. Like, people are going to realize that this thing's – like, can't
do
hot
stuff.
We've
got to be ready to scale this down on a moment's notice.
So, eventually developers are going to realize, like – because, I mean, if you look at the Wii – like, the Wii U sales are crazy – or the Wii sales are crazy, but the software isn't. So it's like – they Nintendo had to have known to a point, like, this is almost
right. –
and, like, you knew they wanted to, like, as many people as can buy them probably should, because eventually people just aren't going to give a shit anymore.
Yeah.
So I feel like there was probably a small level of manufacturing demand and a big level of just they couldn't make enough.
Yeah.
Also, Wii U news, it is going to be region locked, which shouldn't be surprising.
The GameCube Wii, the only one that isn't is the DS.
Yes, the DS was not. I know because I played some import games on it. And it also made it super easy to hack.
Which was an unfortunate move on their part.
Yes.
Which is why we will never get another unregion locked.
Yes. So it's going to be region locked and reported as of, I believe, today that we haven't seen all of the Wii U launch window games.
Which is they're characterizing as the first 6 months?
It's up until end of March. So yeah, about the first 5 months.
Yeah. My question, I guess, is just like, are these going to be Tecmo Koei games or are they going to be actual like Nintendo first party? Are they going to be like...
See, it's actually...
Real?
So the quote is, it was Reggie saying there are some Wii U games currently in development which, quote, will release during the launch window that we haven't announced yet. Reggie saying we. I think if it was Tecmo Koei or whoever owns the corpse of Hudson,
right,
making a new
Konami.
Yeah, I feel like that stuff would have been announced already, just for investment reasons.
Yeah,
I don't really know what else it could. I bet you Nintendo's prepping a Wii Sports U.
I'm pretty sure it's going to be a very like a Lynx crossbow training esque game.
Probably, but hey, it's something to do.
Hearing you at the end of game names always makes me think it's a school.
It is. Yeah.
It's weird.
It's like ESPNU.
Man, how good is Brain Age U going to be?
Or MTVU?
I bet you Brain Age U is going to be like a fake college. Just throwing that out there.
Online.
Someone quote me on this. Games Radar, Radio Radar quotes.
Copyright.
Copywritten me. And that's all the Wii U news. I'm sure there's going to be more every week. But there's also new PS3 news. The PS3 Slimmer was announced.
I was there for that. Woo.
Were you?
Yeah, you were. We can talk about that later. Son of a bitch.
So PS3, there's two new SKUs. There's a 250 gig one and a 500 gig one. It is 20% smaller and 25% lighter than the Slim. And it looks like someone just fucking went to town on it with like a – just scratched it.
Yeah.
Like,
when they first showed it, I was like, what the heck is this? It looked like
– it's like someone took one of those wood carving knives and that kind of just whittled
just
away.
Like ran it across the
etching,
the
like an etching knife or something.
I mean, it's cool looking.
But why would you give up the smooth thing that they got going with the
– Maybe they felt – I mean, we've got one down there. It's kind of – it's not particularly interesting the
it
way –
It looks sleek though.
I can see why they would want to put
like
a little
George
texture
Foreman
on the
grill,
top.
But
like,
and also, if you look at the...
I mean, it's looked like a George Foreman grill since 2006.
Yeah, I guess
and it's
true.
Also the way the game goes in is different now. There's no discs, I believe, like the weird scratched thing, if you look at the pictures, that slides over and the game goes in.
Oh, interesting.
Oh.
I believe I've heard.
That is news to me.
But the thing that makes it weird is that it doesn't come with a price drop. It's just them being like, hey, we scratched the fuck out of the PS3.
You're welcome.
they literally shaved off the excess space.
It's
going to be $269 as a limited edition bundle that includes Uncharted and a $30 voucher for digital content in Dust 514.
So is it $269 for the 500 or the...
The 250.
The 250. How much is the 500?
And
is it the same price but with a bigger hard drive?
might be. I believe it is, but that's still not a price drop.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's cheaper.
It is more megabits for the dollar. but it's not like... I think a lot of people expected it. Like, all right, new hardware coming out from the Wii. Then probably it makes
sense. I literally have no idea at this point what configurations the PS3 is available in. Like, what is...
I think it's
like 20, 40, 60,
I could be wrong, but I think that the cheapest model before was a $250 160 gig that doesn't come with anything special. This is a 250 gig for $20 more, but it comes with a game.
That's fair.
So... It technically it's not a price drop. There is still a cheaper version but then it comes with a game. Which is kind of, I expected that. It's sort of like the way that a lot of companies do price drops when they don't actually feel like losing any money, where it's like, let's shove a game in there that everyone already owns. And it's Uncharted and free money for Dust 514, which is a free to play game. So it's an interesting idea. It's just, do you think there was a demand for another skinnier PS3?
Yet one more SKU.
I will say this.
Just to confuse people that much more?
I do not own a PS3 personally, and I think I'm going to buy it with this one.
Why this one, and why not the last one?
Is
it just because you're like, I guess...
Now
is
the time.
Were you going to buy one this year? Probably. If they would have released... If they would have at that event been like, hey, we're just bundling Uncharted with it now, would you have been like... All
right. It just feels right. Now feels like the right time.
So it's just because there's a new bundle. You don't need it to be a better one.
There is like a change in the way it looks, and that's kind of what is spurring you.
It's like, why? This is definitely going to be the last.
I think some psychology is at work here.
Yes, like, I am a living
proof.
Like, you
feel like this is probably the last iteration, and that's the one you want. They've got all the kinks
worked out. This is like the refined...
That said, we all thought the last iteration of the PSP was going to come far before the last iteration of the PSP.
That's true.
Before they were like, let's release the one without the disc drive.
I mean, I'm just kind of curious, because I have...
After the go.
I have the original fat PS3, and I have not been tempted by any of these hardware redesigns. Like, the only reason why I would buy a new PS3 at this point is if my first one broke. I'm wondering if by announcing the new hardware SKU, if they're thinking that they're going to get people to convert to the new one, or if it's just a...
I honestly think part of the reason might be, I mean, since the beginning of this generation, Sony kept saying, yeah, we're in it for a 10-year cycle, and everyone's been saying they were wrong.
Yeah.
But it looks like they were right.
Yeah.
I mean, we're already, 7 years in?
That's wild.
I mean, we're probably not getting new hardware. I mean, we're not getting new hardware this year. Rumors are we're not getting it next year, which means that
rumors are we are getting it.
We are, I've read some things saying like...
Conflicting
rumors. But there are rumors saying that it may end up being at some point in 2014, not 2013.
Whoa. There are also rumors that say we will never get a new
one. Yes. I wouldn't be surprised if we don't get one until 2014, just because, like, Sony's been saying 10 years. At this point, it doesn't feel like they... need to be the first. They're not going to be the first one to market. Microsoft's probably going to beat them to market. Maybe they wait a little longer and just be better a year after, and then they get to say, like, listen, we said 10 years. We kept one of our promises.
I mean, it's the question of being better is very interesting at this point, because it's like, how are we even going to be defining, or how is the average consumer going to be able to tell that this is better?
It really feels like this current generation is the last traditional generation we're ever going to get.
Yeah.
You can go to PC and just not worry about that kind of thing.
Right.
And use Steam, whatever the hell the fact that it has a better interface now, and people are losing their shit about it.
First parties are really constricted by third parties, because it's like third parties need a wide installed base. So it's like you can't make the PlayStation 4 so much more powerful than the Wii U that, you know, you're going to have third parties being like, well, we don't want to just make something that's maxing your console, because then we can't sell it on any.
Which
other
I bet
ones.
You there's meetings going on between like Microsoft and Sony where they're having that discussion where they're like, listen,
you know what?
Let's
fuck Nintendo.
I mean,
are we clear on this?
Probably being like, listen, we know we're both going to try to one-up each other in a million ways, but let's make this – let's go between these two
right.
areas. I don't care if you're on the high or the low, but at least that way, that will be best for both of us.
Right.
I bet you those meetings
that
are
is actually
one double cross
criminal
the other.
Behavior. But,
how is it criminal behavior?
It's conspiring with a competitor.
I guess it is.
Yeah.
I personally think
conspiring
that it's probably,
is not the correct legal term. There,
I think it's probably happening, at least on like a casual term.
Yeah.
Like Kaz talking to like Major Nelson, even though I know he has no fucking swing in terms of actual hardware, but it's like, hey. We should probably just do this. And then he's like, yeah. And then they slip each other. And they slip each other like Microsoft points back and forth.
We'll give you comp accounts.
Yes. But
as much PS Plus as you want.
I don't want it. but if you are a fan of the PS3 and if you're buying one this year, you might be happy to know that Kingdom Hearts HD is finally coming out.
Yes. So one second before we get to that. Okay. How is it possible that you don't have a it's your job to own a PlayStation.
Because this guy was an intern at PC Gamer for like 17 years.
I have one in the house, but I don't have one in my possession. So I play the PS3 games.
His living arrangement is essentially like a gigantic frat house.
A broquarium, I believe it was once called.
I think frat house is better.
Really? There was someone there who was like, you know what this place is called? Broquarium.
Who called it a broquarium?
Former EIC Gary's time.
Oh, okay. Well, this is one of those instances of Gary being wrong. Like when he hired you.
Wow.
Just kidding. We love you. Gary also said there'd never be a Kingdom Hearts HD collection.
What a fool.
That's not
I don't
true.
Even
he
know
didn't
what
say
talking
that.
About this.
Kingdom Hearts HD. You're not a fan of Kingdom Hearts
HD?
Oh, my God. Get out
quite
of this
possibly
room.
Possibly the most ridiculously dumb franchise in the history of all video games.
Do you want to get
Final
into this
Final Fantasy is just pathetically bad as a franchise
in
and of itself.
I thought taking my headphones off would help me not hear this, but you're actually so loud that I hear it louder.
And then you throw in Mickey Mouse to the equation.
It's called childhood memories, Tom. You ever heard of that?
Games is above the age of 13 is interested.
It's called
in
the most magical place on earth.
The guy has a fucking key that uses. Never mind.
It's
I'm done here.
It's
I
truly wondrous, Tom. Exploring these worlds.
When I was a first time I went to Disneyland, my mom, I was like 5 years old, my mom just insisted on calling Mickey Mouse a greedy little rodent everywhere we went. It was very formative.
I was actually going to ask if you even had a child or if you simply hatched a bitter old man. A bitter old man with memories that were implanted into your head of more bitterness.
Hard to say.
Have you ever played
your life
a
is being
greedy little rodent.
Your life is being explained to me right now.
Oh my God.
Anyway,
Mama always said Mickey Mouse was a greedy little rodent.
So now you have a very crisp HD.
What are we going to find in that package, Coop?
Yeah.
I don't mean it that way.
Do you though?
Yes.
Donald Duck's beak will just pop.
All right, so inside of there, it's actually three games.
Ooh,
and
that doesn't,
you get
that's not positive.
Tom, we're gonna strap you to a chair.
The package includes HD remakes of the first Kingdom Hearts and Chain of Memories.
Okay.
Oh, that's a great title.
It has the added cutscenes of 358/2 days.
Heck yeah! Heck to the yeah!
Better known as Kingdom Hearts 179.
And
176. I did the math at some point.
And
why did they do that? They put a math equation
you
in the title?
You say why, Tom? I say why not.
What is it? 358 divided by 2?
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out if it comes with if it comes with Kingdom Hearts 2, but I can't actually find this in this story. announced for the PS3, the package includes HD remakes of the first Kingdom Hearts and Chains of Memories, along with HD cutscenes from... Yeah, this story doesn't actually
explain it.
Okay,
well, Kingdom Hearts HD is coming.
Yes, it is
Ninja
coming.
Ninja Gaiden Z.
It's actually, the actual name is HD 1.5.
Although I'm not
Remix.
Sure one...
Mix is capitalized.
I don't think one will have aged that well, because two just
two
made the combat
so,
so much better.
Yes.
But the... I think the voice
this
works.
This is reflecting poorly on you, by the way.
This is
the fact that he
file.
Likes Kingdom Hearts?
Yes. I know Kingdom Hearts well enough to be able to.
Eventually, I want to see your list of the best of like your best 10 games because I want to see you kind of
Halo
like sputter
one,
out
Halo
after
two.
Three, and then you're just going to start angrily listing games you hate. You're going to be like,
you know what? This is dumb. Let me go off on.
Video games are for babies.
Have you played Kingdom Hearts, Tom?
I have watched
Okay. Kingdom Hearts from afar. Played.
Yes.
Longingly.
No.
Not admitting to yourself that you wished you were holding the controller.
No.
That you wanted to be. Did you know that, by the way, that Kingdom Hearts is light?
Is what?
Anyway, moving on.
Is light. Ninja Gaiden Z.
Ninja Gaiden and Dragon Ball Z.
Yaiba.
Finally together.
Right.
That's not true.
Jinx.
Ninja Gaiden Soda. Finally having that crossover with DayZ. I'm sorry, Jay-Z.
Oh.
So Ninja Gaiden Z, so, Z is for zombie.
Tamanobu Itagaki out on the Ninja Gaiden franchise for a while now.
Yes.
Taken over with Keiji Inafune.
You yes. know, speaking and of Itagaki, his game has not been seen in quite some time.
Devil's Third?
Devil's Third.
It was dropped by THQ and then
it looks,
where's it at? Where's it at?
Another publisher.
Well,
it
maybe,
looks like it could be cool, or yes. it could be terrible.
But yeah, Ninja Gaiden Z is a so who is helming this? Is that the word? Who is at the helm?
Keiji
Inafune.
Inafune, not Inafune, which is my bad. I have problems with pronunciation
and enjoying video games
and having a childhood.
Yes. So, what is this like? What makes this different from other Kingdom Hearts games? That's what I'm asking.
Okay,
or Ninja Gaiden games. I
Henry
guess.
Saw it firsthand. He went to the Partay where this was debuted in Japan, and he said it was Ninja Gaiden, but you don't play as Ryu Hayabusa.
What?
You play as someone he killed, and now you're a zombie back for revenge.
So just any old grunt, or in someone in particular?
I am not sure. I mean, you got to be pretty Yabia. Angry.
So you play as a resurrected ninja named Yaibi that's cutting his way through zombies in a search for revenge against Ryu Hayabusa, the hero of the Ninja Gaiden series.
Was no. I wonder if you're trying to kill the specific Ryu from Ninja Gaiden 3, in which case I think you have everyone's support.
I mean, prevent the future from happening kind
dude,
of deal.
How great would that be? Go back in time and stop Ninja Gaiden 3 from ever coming out? That'd be wonderful.
Right.
Now, this is pretty cool to me, because how often do you get to play as the bad – like, how's it going to end if he can't kill the main character?
I bet you it ends with him getting there and then, like, sort of like how they kept building up Prototype 2. It's like, the main villain's going to be the guy from Prototype 1. And then literally in the opening cutscene, they're like, let's work together. I bet you get to the end and Ryu is like, yo, man, I'm sorry. And he's like, it's cool.
What if then he kills Ryu at the end? What a
twist. That'd be a wonderful conclusion.
What a twist.
It would be funny because it would technically be a twist. But if the plot of the game is the main character trying to kill someone, it's actually not a – it shouldn't be a twist.
Yeah.
It's like at the end, he's like, boy, he stabs him, and it's like, ha-ha! And everyone's playing like, holy crap, did he just kill
and
Ryu?
And then just like the cutscene is the guy just eating Ryu's brains.
Yep.
Or not the cutscene,
the credits over him eating the – and it's not even like a repeated animation. It's just like super well detailed of him just slowly eating the brain.
Of Ryu Hayabusa.
Yes. It could be like an alternate universe type deal, like Marvel Zombies.
See, I don't even want it that. I want this to be yes.
The end of Ryu Hayabusa.
Yes. He is no longer allowed to be.
He's not that cool.
Is it Ryu? I don't know. Never mind.
Really? Really, Tom? Really?
I'm sorry.
Let's move on to any more news before I stumble on forward?
No, I feel like you hit it pretty well.
Thank you. Thank you,
fine,
Tom.
Fine work.
Thanks.
I'm feeling like a third wheel all of a sudden.
FTL. Well,
yes. Reviews for the week. Yes. And by reviews, I mean review for the week. If you want reviews of things like FIFA and PES.
Well,
and,
hold on. We have
and Dead or Alive,
Dead or Alive
and Hell Yeah, Wrath of the Dead Rabbit, and some other stuff. You can check that out all out on GamesRadar.com. Right now, we're going to talk about fucking indie shit.
We gave a remarkable number of eights recently.
Well, there's a reason for that.
Yeah.
Because there are a remarkable number of fours came out recently out of five.
I was just marveling.
Not
like,
a
wow,
bad thing.
Hey, another 4 out of 5.
I mean, if you
our
look at
reviewers
if you,
are getting very uncreative,
or it's the fact that we didn't like 10 games came out this week, and we just reviewed the ones that actually looked interesting instead of reviewing the shitty looking ones.
Yeah, that's true.
By the way, people, that's why you see lots of eights, because we don't review Barbie shit.
Right.
Like, if you want us to review those shitty games, then you're going to see lots of twos and no one's going to be happy.
Yeah.
Instead, we just spend our time on the games you actually care about.
But at the same time, it's like, you probably guess this game is going to be probably pretty good.
Yeah,
so why are we even bothering?
Because Ninja Gaiden 3 could have been good.
Yeah.
And then we gave it like a
so we're just trying two. To find out if this game is not bad.
Sometimes. But then there's instances like Faster Than Light,
yeah.
Where game comes out of nowhere, and it's not only not bad, it's great. So Faster Than Light is an indie game. You can play it on PC or Mac. Ridiculously low system requirements. If you downloaded this podcast on a computer, congratulations!
Hey.
You can play Faster Than Light. It was actually a Kickstarter game, which suddenly adds so much credibility in my book to Kickstarter games because it is really good. So you play as a...
I didn't realize anything on Kickstarter had actually...
Materialized?
Like, I believe the funded, but actually come
this,
about.
This was like... This is like a success story because it came out, it's on Steam now, and it's super good. So you have a ship. It's a roguelike of sorts. So you have a ship that you get to name.
Define roguelike. It's a
genre that is best representative of pain. You're going to die a lot. It's a difficult game that's supposed
to... Randomization
is part of it. It's not going to be a 20-hour long game. It's going to be a 30-minute long game that you're going to play 50 times.
You will see the same stuff over and over, and yet you will see nothing twice.
There's typically permadeath. There's typically no way to save in a traditional sense.
Right.
And Faster Than Light is like that, except most roguelikes take place in a dungeon.
Right.
This one is in outer space. You have to jump between little star systems and then jump thus between big star systems. You have to jump between like little ones like dozens of times and big ones only 8 times. And every time you jump, something happens. It can be a battle, and it's sort of like you see your ship and you have to battle the other ship by targeting different parts of their ship and upgrading your weapons and slotting different things in.
Sweet. So is part of the gameplay just like, oh crap, I gotta jump?
Sort of.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you always have to jump.
Yeah. And you're like, if I jump, I'm fucked.
There are sometimes like that where you'll be like, I need to find a... So essentially, as you jump, you have shields and you have your health. Your shields will obviously replenish. Your health will not. Your hull.
Right.
The only way you replenish your hull is by stores. There's lots of stores, but there will be times where you can't find a store when you need one. The only way to travel is to jump between events.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes events are battles. Often they're battles, and the battles are super tense and strategic. Like, you can target their shields or, like, their engine, or you can target their oxygen room. So, like, one of my strategies is I'll take out their weapons so everyone has to run and repair that, and then I'll take out their oxygen. So they're like, well, obviously we need to fix the air before we worry about the weapons. You can get drones that fly around repairing your ship or damaging their ship. You can teleport onto their ship. So the battle is super complex and fun, but there's also just random events that'll be like, so you found a ship from a distress beacon. It is currently being attacked by giant space spiders. Do you send someone to help? And
no.
If you say no, then you just move on. If you say yes, then sometimes it's like, cool, they reward you with a bunch of stuff. Sometimes it's like one less person is coming back. Also, you get to name your crew.
Oh, God.
So I hate to tell you, Lucas, you have died so many times.
You are actually the right guy.
Your entire crew goes off and someone at random dies.
Oh, wow.
But that said, as you go, you'll recruit more people.
So this is like a Oregon Trail-like thing.
Sort of. You'll recruit more people as you play, and they can be different alien races.
Yeah.
So there may be times where it's like there's a fire on a ship. Do you go help them? And if you have a rock person, there'll be blue text that says, yeah, send your rock person because they are impervious to heat.
Right.
And like 99% of the time, you'll just go put it out.
And
that 1% of the time, there will be
no one will
being
come
sucked out of an airlock or something.
But then there's also other times where it's like, oh, like, do you – it could even be more complex than that. Like I had if you have missiles on your ship, there'll be – sometimes you'll do a mission – you'll find a mission that'll be like – or a better example is like there's a ship that was mining an asteroid, but now it's stuck on it. Normally, it's like, do you leave it? Do you try to blow up the asteroid and save the ship, which only works like 25% of the time? But I had a laser weapon on my ship, and it's like, oh, do you want to carve him out? So you carve him out. It's like, cool. You do it. Like, so there's these random encounters that are going to be – they're intentionally random. So it's going to – it's not like, oh, if I do this perfectly, I'll – no, you're going to just – like, sometimes you're just going to die.
Right.
But there are things you can do to make it much more likely to succeed. And, like, there's times where I've come to the same event over and over again, and – I'll do it or I won't do it, and I'll always suck at it. But then, like, one time I'll go and I'll have a specific ship part, and it'll be like, oh, like, use your stealth to get really close and evacuate all the people, and now you're getting extra gold, like, extra scrap, and somebody's joining your crew.
So it sounds like it has, like, a Binding of Isaac element to it.
I don't know about that.
Where, like, if one situation may be easier depending on...
That's fair. It also... So I've been playing on easy because there's easy and normal.
Mm-hmm.
I have yet to beat the game because
how do you win?
So you get to the end. So I think you're actually playing the bad guy in this game. I'm not 100% sure. You're running away from rebels. to try to, like, save your people. Mm-hmm. And the Rebels always say
things. Is this a Battlestar Galactica style?
See, I think it's almost more like maybe, like, you're the Empire running away from the Rebel fleet.
I see.
But so you get to the end, and there's just a giant Rebel ship. And I remember the first time I'm like, I'm actually geared up to take this thing. Because the first few times you look at it, and you're just like, well, fuck me. Yeah. And it just destroyed me. And I'm like, I'm actually geared up to take it down. And you fight it, and then you blow off, like, half of its ship, and then it jumps into another thing, and it's like, oh, you got to fight it again. This time it has less – I'm like, oh, this time, though, it has less stuff on it. That time it launched, like, 30 drones that just tore me apart. You need to destroy it four times.
Oh, God.
Presumably
it is doable.
Yes, I've heard of people doing it, and that's on easy.
Oh.
It is super difficult, and I'm usually – I've discussed on this podcast and on other podcasts that I really hate – super difficult games. I think that Demon's Souls and Dark Souls can collectively suck a dick. Just get together,
have a party.
Just have a good old time. I don't like super difficult games. I am in love with this game and I can't stop playing it because I feel like the difficulty is fair.
Yeah,
and I feel like the punishment is. Though it can be severe, though it's like, I'll be like, oh, I'll put my family members onto this ship and then go traveling. And then it's like, giant spiders ate your sister. And I'm like, fuck, I liked her. It's still super fun. And because they're shorter games, I never feel like, even after I'll play like 45 minutes, cause that's sort of like the end cap, and I'll die a horrible death. And I'm still like, all right, well, next time I'm going to try it like this. Also, there are achievements that unlock like a dozen ships.
Ooh.
Each ship has two different types. It's so replayable and it's so fun. And it's like $10 on Steam. And you really, really should buy it.
Not too shabby.
You can check out the review on GameTrader.com.
GamesRadar.
I'm sold. I think I'm going to go buy it.
Well, you should.
I think on Weekend Spent last weekend, I was saying I was going to buy it and I didn't.
Well, you should.
I ended up
your Weekend
more.
Spents, Tom, have nothing to do with the way you spend your weekends.
I know, right?
Yeah. That's it for reviews. Like we said, there's a lot of reviews on the site. Nothing that we really wanted to talk about on the show this week. Though next week, we're going to have plenty to talk about review-wise because next week, Resident Evil comes out.
Aw, yeah.
So we're going to be talking about that. You're going to be eating peaches in Georgia, we know.
Great. Right, I'll be gone.
But our own Lucas went to his
Tokyo Game Show.
I did go to Tokyo Game Show. 2012.
And you played Metal Gear Rising.
I did play Metal Gear Rising.
Before we get to that, Lucas brought me back some candy.
Yes.
From Tokyo, called the Wonderful Charms Sour Ball. So I'm going to go ahead and pop a Sour Ball.
Can I also have a Sour Ball?
Sure. That's yellow.
Oh, they're individually wrapped.
I have two.
You don't want the yellow.
I don't want
Tom.
That one.
Jesus.
I don't want that one. That one looks like crap.
Son of a snitch.
Yeah, I'm all over that one. I'm all over this ball.
Or red one.
All right, so can you tell us...
so sour that I can't
talk. I know we could spend a very long time talking just about your excapades or sexcapades in Japan, but could you just real quick run us through Metal Gear Rising, which you had a chance to play with your very own American hands.
I did. And this was my second time playing. I actually played the E3 demo, but this was new
stuff. So first of all, about the sour ball...
Yes.
These are basically like those little charms.
Sour balls.
You put on them stick and they're...
Lollipops?
Yeah.
Were you seriously looking for the word lollipop and not finding it?
Yeah, the ball...
Is there so much hatred in your brain that you couldn't even find the kindness of the childhood memory of eating a lollipop?
Lollipop was eluding me, but you helped me out there. Thank you.
Yeah, it tastes like a lollipop. Metal Gear Rising. It's your second time playing it. You played it at Tokyo Game Show. What was this demo like?
This demo was not easy, let me tell you. I played on normal. I thought it was hot stuff. I get to the boss, which was the fight with the robot dog that we saw in the last trailer. I believe
not
name
the MC Chris song, robot dog.
LQ84I or something crazy like that.
If you're wrong, then you're in trouble.
It's on me. It's on me.
It's slander if you're wrong.
But... yeah, he was not easy. I, to this day, do not know how to take him down. But that game is hella fun.
Were there any stealth sections in the demo you played yet?
Yeah, so...
Really?
Sort of.
When I played it, it was just, like, literally leap over helicopters and cut them up.
So this part had a section where you go to an alley, and it turns out Raiden has, like, a visor that lets him see dudes through walls. Like,
well, he is a cyborg.
Arkham City, Arkham Asylum, all that jazz.
Gotcha.
So you scout up.
Is he Batman?
He very well could be.
It's not Batman.
Can't
okay.
say.
We both looked at Tom for confirmation. Thank you, Tom.
Not Batman.
So you see
spoilers,
that there
you.
Are like 30 dudes in this alley. And I was like, oh, there's this rocket launcher. Let me try to fight him. Did not pan out so nicely. I died almost immediately, and I said, wait, let me use my awesome acrobatic abilities to run past these dudes without them noticing. So, yes, in a sense, there is stealth.
Optional stealth.
Yes. They don't lord it over you or make you tap on walls or anything like that.
Gotcha.
But you can avoid fights if you are sneaky.
And awesome. Yeah. We're all sucking on our salty balls.
I actually am just taking mine out of my mouth so I don't sound like an idiot while I speak.
And I gotta say, my sour balls have yet to get sour.
Yeah, they're not
they're
sour.
They're kind of sweet balls.
All right, I'm putting mine back in my mouth. Yeah. So, thank you for discussing.
It sounds like you just chipped your molar, sir.
There we go.
Oh, and there were, you know, in-game cutscenes, in-engine cutscenes, and they were freaking cool.
I'm excited.
When the dogfish shows up, he, like, shoots these acid-covered knives at Raiden, and Raiden's like, uh-uh.
As dogs are off to do.
So he flicks two of them aside, right? And you're like, where's the third one? He caught it in his boot.
Jesus. So is this feeling like a Platinum game or a Metal Gear game?
This is feeling like a Platinum game 100% of the way. And I'm fine with that.
That's really good news.
I'm down with that, absolutely. And there was no watermelon slicing.
They want to distance themselves
in this
from
demo.
The metal.
That's the demo
watermelon.
I played.
I did not hear of any crashing or anything like that.
Yeah, when I played, I cut a watermelon up until it crashed. That was E3. Because and I talked to the developer.
We need to get these watermelons out of here.
No, the developer was like, you could technically slice the watermelon in like an infinite number of directions. Though probably 365, I guess. Right. But after a certain amount, the game crashes. I'm like, well, then don't let me slice it that much. Like, if you put a watermelon there and tell me to slice it as much as I can, I'm going to slice it the amount of times that the game crashes.
I will obliterate it.
There will be very little. I will waste all of the watermelon.
Well, it seems like they didn't want you slicing things too thinly because
That's where it causes a problem. Yeah. That's probably why it got to. I think that's the real reason it took so long to make is they kept being like, people were slicing things too thin.
Work on that algorithm, everyone!
Everyone stopped modeling. They took, like, the animators and, like, the writers, and they're like, here's code! I'm excited, too. And you know what else I'm excited for? Assassin's Creed 3, which I'm not going to talk too much about because we've already gone on pretty long on this podcast. But I'll just talk about this one thing. You can check out on GamesRadar. We have a list of all of the cool shit we did. But the most – one thing I did is the event was in Boston. And while at the event, we got to visit the actual place where the Boston Tea Party happened, and we learned the history of the Boston Tea Party.
That's pretty cool.
Real quick history lesson. The British were trying to charge.
Are you really going to go?
Just real quick, okay. It's important. The British were putting a tax on tea. They said this boat isn't going to leave until the tea is off of it. But in the middle of a night, a bunch of colonialists dressed like Native Americans went through the tea off the harbor and then left, and no one knew who they were except for one guy who got caught. In the game, Connor Henway kills dozens of soldiers while the Founding Fathers, brazenly defiant of the throne, fist fight other enemies while you launch these incredibly heavy boxes of tea.
And then you light that
ocean.
Shit on fire and it sinks.
I was almost like, why did Ubisoft make a point to make sure we knew the actual Boston Tea Party before showing us that? Like, it's just like, quick, protect John Adams! And I'm like, stab all of the redcoats!
I need John Adams for my constitution!
Yeah. I need him to free the slaves! It's like, why would they show us this? It was super fun. And the game is, I'm super excited for it, and I played it for like 3 hours, and it was phenomenal. What I played was amazing. But I was like, this is the least historically accurate
That's fine.
It was ridiculous, and I was like, and there were so many other little things. Like, right before the Boston Tea Party, there's like a famous speech that I couldn't even find online where you can, like...
I don't think that constitutes famous.
No, there was... Yeah. Okay, there was a speech...
Someone was talking on a street blogger
Let me rewind, pretend I didn't say that. Right before the Boston Tea Party, there was like a meeting between all the Founding Fathers and a bunch of people. And one of the last things they say is like, there's nothing more that meetings can discuss. Mm-hmm. And I was worried that they were going to essentially turn Connor into like the Forrest Gump of revolutionary America, where he was just going to be sitting in the corner nodding at everything. But you have a mission that ends at that building. And like, as you go there, you hear like the final words of that meeting. And then like John Adams storms out.
That's pretty cool.
And it's like, okay, I'm actually cool with that, because then at least you're not being like... You're not like the
person.
Then
you're just a dude being like, is this a flash mob? I'm on.
Yeah. So they did a good job of it. I also got to try out like hunting shit. I found an island that the developers referred to as Bear Island.
Oh.
Guess what? Full of bears.
Full of bears that you can stab in the neck.
Killed so many bears. Killed so many bears, you guys. Super fun.
Not a very Native American way.
You actually, fun fact, if you don't skin them and take all of the things, it gives you the same punishment as killing civilians.
Wow.
Like, it says, like, it's like the game does that thing where it throws something up and it's like, yo!
Hunter, dude!
Hunter! Yeah. Kept he didn't waste any part of the animal. He's a Native American. That's something they didn't do.
Yeah.
It's like that's, and it's not even like, oh, that's wrong. It's
we'll have John Adams throwing fist fights on a flaming ship, but killing a bear as a Native American?
You can kill them. You have to skin them.
Oh, right.
Because Native Americans historically or stereotypically, I don't know.
Yeah.
They didn't kill.
There was some jackass Native Americans who were just like, I'm going to kill bear.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck.
If they kill an animal, they're supposed to use every part of it. In the game, if you don't use every part of the animal.
It's like a sociopathic Native American.
I'm sure there was at least one who had a comical name that I can't think of a joke for right now.
Probably best to leave it alone.
Yeah, it's my brain stopping me from getting fired.
But it was.
Yes. So definitely excited for that, and we'll have more on that as its release approaches. It's soon. It's like end of October.
Good God.
Super excited.
Are you going to give it as a Thanksgiving gift?
No.
What? No. Who gives Thanksgiving? Are you even American? What? Have you ever given a gift on Thanksgiving?
Maybe it's
Have you ever received a gift on Thanksgiving of the season differently, Tom?
I mean,
previews and reviews. This is where the interview would normally go, but as we discussed,
it may or may not be here. If it's not, I'm just going to talk about it real quick.
Okay.
WikiPad is a new tablet device that
you may have heard about it because it's actually making the rounds news-wise.
It's a new tablet device, and its hook, I guess, is that it's got a controller built in, or there's an attachment on the tablet. That kind of looks like a gamepad.
For the Wii U controller.
Yeah, yeah. So it's the difference is your hands are going to be a lot more apart than they would for a normal gamepad because they're on the sides of the tablet. Hmm. It's Android. It runs on 4.1 Jelly Bean or whatever it's called. So you
Jelly Donut.
You get access to Android games. They were showing off a Gears of War clone, basically.
Oh, cool.
And it's light, and it's pretty powerful.
And you'll be able to check out some news about that on GamesRadar.
Right. So that is what the WikiPad is. You can find out more information at, like, wikipad.com or something.
I really hope that's just, like, a hardcore
pornography.
Yeah. And if it's not, I'm buying it tonight. No matter how much it costs.
Uploading your mass extensive library of hardcore pornography to it.
I don't think there's enough room on the internet.
Yeah.
Haha, because I got it on the internet. Yeah, that's the joke. That's the funny part. It's not really funny. It's just kind of creepy.
That's the ruse. Anyway,
now that we've talked about hardcore pornography.
And the WikiPad.
I give to you the WikiPad interview.
Maybe.
There was nothing that just played there, was it?
No, I don't think an interview played.
That WikiPad.
That's awkward.
It's a beautiful device.
It is, and you can find out more about it on GamesRadar.com, which, by the way, you
I'm
should
not
go to.
The
you
WikiPad.
Should go to GamesRadar.com.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Go I'd to like GamesRadar.com because we like to see you on the website.
We have some cool features that we're doing.
Are we going to plug everything that we're going to do right now?
Let's do some quick plugs. I'm going to plug personally two things.
Okay. Mm.
Number one, Game Club, which you can go to GamesRadar.com. We're doing a thing called Game Club, where once a month we're doing a podcast, talk about a cheap game or an old game.
It's like a spoiler cast for old games.
Older game, or at least a not new game.
Right.
Like Beyond Good and Evil is not technically an old game. But this month we're doing Secret of Monkey Island, which you can buy on anything you own for like $5.
Which is an old game.
Yeah,
but one of the best games ever made.
Not only an old game, but it was remade in HD really recently. And it's beautiful with voice acting and all that shit. And the other thing I'm going to plug is every Sunday on Games Radar.
The new game releases
Super Show.
Right.
Which I am not going to explain to you. I just really recommend you watch it.
It's pretty good.
And it's weekly, and it's a video, and we say stupid shit, and you should just go watch it.
And we really enjoy making that.
Yes.
I will plug, this week we're going to try out a new feature, Know Your Indie, which is going to be basically...
Is that really what we're calling it?
I don't know.
I don't like that.
That's just what I have written down.
Right. I know you did, and I wanted to ask you about it. Now feels like as good of a time.
I know,
as
right? Now we're going to have this meeting on the podcast. That's really awkward.
We can
you're
talk
just
about
calling
it.
Me out in front of our entire audience.
Sort of. You do it to me, and yeah. You're my boss, so it makes more sense. But that's I'm going to do it to you to show that I have balls in front of the users.
Dave Voiles.
Look at my balls.
Oh, I know
sorry,
that
Dave Voiles.
He's the man.
Yeah, he's a cool guy. But he's going to be doing basically a weekly roundup of this week in indie.
I like that better.
Yeah.
Let's go with that.
So that's going to be on Saturday, first one. Hopefully we'll have that weekly as
well. Saturday. I like that one. I like that name too. It's going to have like kicks. Like if there's a big Kickstarter thing that week, if there's a big indie release, if there's a big indie interview.
Top five
biggest indie stuff.
I mean, we're
stuff.
Not going to associate it as a list. It's not a list feature, but
it's just a rundown of the coolest indie stuff.
It's a hey, check this out.
Lucas, I would like for you to promote your arcade editorial. Because I really want to hear this. Like, you were in Japan.
I was in Japan.
Like,
I was in
$3,000 on Japanese prostitutes. And then another $200 on arcade machines.
We discussed love hotels. Did not attend one, sadly. Nor a maid cafe.
Have you seen the movie, I forgot the name of it.
No, I haven't seen that movie.
Is
it a hentai?
The Great Happiness Space?
No, never heard of it.
It's on Netflix. It's about
a lot of stuff's on Netflix.
This Japanese guy who's a male escort, and there's like male escort clubs.
Hmm.
And it's really interesting. It goes into the old prostitution scene. The entertaining scene? What's it called? The hosting scene.
Ah.
In Japan.
I see.
Great Happiness Space.
Tale
of an Osaka love thief.
I'll add that to my instant queue.
I really recommend it. It's a good movie. It's a documentary. It has
okay,
nothing
that makes
at
it,
all
that makes
to
it
do
more interesting.
With
I thought
what,
it was just a movie.
No. It's a documentary.
There's also an editorial coming out next week where Lucas compares the male love hosts in Japan to the male prostitutes in California.
A lot of subtle differences.
But no, arcades.
Arcades in Japan are like heaven.
Right.
And I'm really sad that I will not be able to go to one tomorrow or even today.
Yeah.
Because I think I spent like a legit 20-hour period just hopping between arcades, loving my life. Yeah. These games in there. Oh, my God, they're good.
And these places are packed.
They are. You won't see.
It's a circus-like environment.
Those dust bales or whatever.
Tumbleweeds.
Bunnies. Yes, thank
there's
you.
A tumble.
Tumbleweeds.
Anyway, so that's happening.
Pass.
So yeah, there's an editorial about that going up.
There's no.
We can't like Lucas. You can't let Lucas go off script, or else he just fucking goes off. It's just like if he goes off script, just it's like, just a reference to the last word he said. It's just so uncomfortable for everyone involved.
I was fully on board with the prostitution reference. The marijuana reference, out of line.
So sorry. Yeah. But yeah, arcades in Japan are godlike, and I will attempt to explain why, although honestly it's something you kind of got to experience it for yourself.
Right.
I would want everyone who thinks themselves a gamer to go to a Japanese arcade.
Did you play the game where you flip tables?
I did, actually.
I'm so fucking jealous.
It wasn't that fun because you pay a buck and you don't flip the table. You only get to do that once. You slam the table.
And then you flip it once, though.
And you like build up anger at people not paying attention to you.
Oh, really?
And then only when you've hit the sweet spot, then you flip it, and then you spend like 5 minutes watching the same destruction scene.
That sounds really
there's
fun.
So much repressed anger.
I know,
like
right?
Weird cultural repressed Japanese anger in
a
that
microcosm.
The fact that you bang Japan. The table because people don't pay attention, like there's so much repressed aggression in that.
The funny thing
like,
is
you know what fuck this.
And there are different scenarios that you pick too, so it's like one so, you're in an office, you're a young dude who can't get his boss's attention. Another one, you're a dad at his family dinner.
Wow.
Your family's ignoring you. But I think it was.
I played that every day on Tom's desk. I drove him, bang the desk, and then flip the table. And he still hasn't paid attention to me once.
Yeah, I'm like, all right, I'll get to it.
He doesn't know your name.
Question of the week last week.
Yeah, question of the week last week is what Western developed game would be better as a JRPG?
Ho!
I thought it was a pretty good question. We did not get many entries, though.
My God.
But what we did get, positive attitude from Twitter. BioShock 2, the game got a strain. Well, he said sprain, but I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Strain father-daughter relationship, an evil. Oh, he continued. Positive attitude, everybody. Reigns Gaydar, Batman Arkham City. The lead character already has the backstory to be the typical emotional JRPG lead man. Change Catwoman from a skin-tight catsuit to schoolgirl uniform with a kitten ear headband. And change the Joker from himself to a slightly more feminine-looking makeup-wearing version of himself.
So change Joker to like the 1950s Joker.
Yeah. Tony Wilson with too human, wouldn't want to spend forever, who wouldn't want to spend forever scrolling through attack menus, planning the best way to take down a Nord's demon, only to die and sit through that glorious 30-second death animation.
That's so good.
And our winner this week is Killer Tofu.
OU.
Game
Killer
of
Tofu.
Game of Thrones.
OU. Killer Tofu. Go on, I'm sorry.
Game of Thrones. The game. As a JRPG. First of all, any other version of the game has pretty good chance of being better than the original from a few months ago.
That's
what
fair.
A disappointment. Also, the world of Westeros, its characters, locations, and stories would lend itself pretty well to any game style. You have the parties made up from any of the main characters' branching storylines, plenty of equipment and loot to find and upgrade. I'm imagining a Final Fantasy 16-bit style world of Westeros. How sweet would that be?
Somebody actually made, I think it was College Humor, made like a 16-bit. Yes. Is that what you're going to? Yes, 16-bit Game of Thrones. So good.
Yeah.
May I speak out of turn here?
Not yet. Killer Tofu, if you live in the U.S., we'll send you some nice, sweet headphones.
Which one? Are those the Sony?
Those are the Sony
ones. Those
ones
are fucking awesome. Yeah. That's a good thing that I am actually secretly Killer Tofu.
Right. we'll send you and if you know what, if Killer Tofu, if you don't live in the U.S., we'll probably send it to Reigns Gaydar because that was a good entry too.
It was. Question of the week this week.
Yeah.
Oh wait, I'm sorry. Speak out of turn, sir.
Oh, Game of Thrones is whack.
Oh wait, I forgot. You're stupid. Never mind. Don't speak out of turn. I don't know why I ever said you could do anything because I was wrong. So question of the week is: what era in history do you want to see more games set in? I'm going to go with the Old West for a very specific reason. So 100 and so years ago, 150 years ago, when it comes to weapons, you had muskets and really, really shitty guns.
Okay.
So
this doesn't sound like good gameplay, but let me
that's not when the Old West was. You had muskets and shitty guns until like 18... until like the mid 1800s, I'll say, which is probably wrong, but around then, in the old West era is when you got like Winchester rifles, which had like 13 shots, and then you could reload them really quick. Mm. But it was before everyone carried machine guns. It's sure. A weird point in history between guns that had like one shot, and then you spent 10 minutes reloading, and guns where you could shoot 100 bullets in a second. Because of that, it feels like that would adapt really well to gameplay, because unlike a Call of Duty style game or even a World War II game where you can kind of spray bullets and spray and pray, you have to actually pick your targets. The weapon variety would be much more interesting. Like, there still were sniper rifles and machine guns were just chain guns that you couldn't actually carry around. It's just a super interesting time for actual guns. And I feel like the games that have actually done a good job with the West, part of the way they do a good job with the West is by really taking advantage of the weapon variety of the era.
What about gun?
That game sucked. But Red Dead Redemption and, to a much lower extent, the second Call of Juarez game were both pretty good, partially because the weapons were so good.
Hmm.
So that's my reason for repping the West. What about you, Lucas?
I am going to go with the 1970s. I would like to see a lot more funk, a lot more soul in video games, and I think that would be the perfect way to do it. You could do like the not. I don't want to say
that where Driver San Francisco took or something like that. Didn't like a recent.
I'm
wrong. That was like the 90s.
I'm pretty sure Driver San Francisco.
That was the 90s. I'm wrong.
I thought it was present day, but
I thought it was like.
I didn't play.
I'm probably wrong.
But 70s had like Dirty Harry, Bullet,
Black Dynamite.
I
love Black Dynamite.
Saw that. I like Jai Michael White.
It is a really good movie. I. I am going to go with, and this is a vastly underrepresented era in all of media.
Whoa.
3 million years in the future. The only series of anything that I've ever
Space
read
Channel
3
5.
Million years in the future is the Book of the New Sun franchise. It's like Gene Wolfe. It's really good.
So do you want so far in the future that things have gone so bad that it's essentially back down to like
old
time swords?
Sort of.
Or do, so you want, like, do you want technology is so advanced that we can't even fathom it?
So I want several apocalypses later.
Okay.
So you've got remnants of 3 million years of... Mm. So basically, I want 50,000 years before the sun explodes.
Okay.
And so you've got like high-tech weaponry that kind of works like old weaponry, but is fancier in some way. Like it's crystal technology. And there are guns that shoot like weird stuff that I can't even fathom.
But it's also because they're like currently rebuilding after the 15th apocalypse.
Right.
It's still sort of rugged and shitty.
Yeah, they've got a remnant of technology that it's just like bits and pieces of really advanced technology.
So
that doesn't work.
So they're
very
not going to have like an internet.
They're not going to have an internet.
But
no.
And they're probably going to it's almost like sort of like Firefly-y where it's probably going to be like
No. It's more like they're not going to have an internet, but they're going to have like buildings that are made out of a permanent material.
It's crystal.
Crystal.
It's always crystal.
Yeah, crystal.
Math.
Like
yes.
Yeah. A polymer of sorts. So that sounds interesting to me.
Is this why you have not had a career in game development?
I was going to ask if this is this why you hate every video game.
Right.
You're like, where are the crystals?
What is this game lacking? Oh, I know. Crystals.
You should play Final Fantasy
I'm
Crystal
sure,
Chronicles.
Yeah.
There are
say, yeah.
a dozen of them.
Any game
so 3 million
that isn't
years
set
in the future,
50,000 years before the sun explodes.
After several apocalypses.
Apocalypti.
Yeah.
Apocalyptical.
But that's
as in,
I'm
like a, like an exercise.
And if you have read the Book of the New Sun, I will send you a Capcom lanyard.
Really?
Yeah, I got a bunch of them.
I'm going to get in touch with the author of that and have him promote that to everyone he knows.
Okay, we'll tweet that out.
He does. Yeah, that guy makes good books.
I was going to say you're going to have to send out thousands of those lanyards.
He wrote The Knight and The Wizard.
Let's say the first
Gene Wolfe.
Let's say the first 10 people. Do you have 10 lanyards?
I don't know. I'll send them out until I run out.
Okay. I'm just saying we should clarify. Just
send them out until you stop caring.
Yeah. And what do you get if you win for the actual question of the week this week?
Oh, we have a Blizzard. Oh, no, we don't have that because that's somebody else's.
We have.
What do we got? Oh, we have a Dragon Age bag.
Yes.
Messenger bag. And we have
no
a Resident Evil 6 for President kit.
Yes, we do. We have a. So it's. So let's. So just let's just give away the Resident Evil stuff.
Okay.
So what do we have to actually give away for people who answer this?
So
or whoever for one the one person
the one
in
person.
America who answers this that we like.
Right. Resident Evil 6 kit that we got from Capcom. There's like a hat and a button, somebody for president.
I think it's the guy who turns into a zombie that dies.
It's basically PR and marketing material.
But it's the cool. hat is cool.
Yeah, and it comes with a button. So, like, during the
did we
next
mention
few months,
the button?
Well, the funny thing about it is, like, you're going to see a ton of, like, political shit going on in the next month and a half.
Yeah.
You're going to be able to have a button promoting someone for president based solely on the fact that he's in a video game.
Yeah.
And that level of, like, political ignorance is just wonderful.
Pretty solid.
It's slightly below my level of political ignorance. Yeah.
But slightly above.
Yeah. It's
I should not continue
good.
That.
It's pretty good. So yeah, just you can comment on the article. You can send us a tweet, and our Twitter is
GR Radio Radar.
Or you can email us at
GamesRadar@RadioRadar. No,
nope, man, you
Radio Radar at GamesRadar.
Every time.
.com.
Yes, and
we also have. Other, God, I'm sorry, I keep interrupting. I don't even know why I'm not letting you do this.
Go, I got you. Got this.
We got a Facebook page, Games Radar. We got a regular Twitter feed, Games Radar.
We have a YouTube channel.
Hey, and actually, the biggest thing that you can do for this show to help us out, go to iTunes, and if you like the show, tell us. Write it down on iTunes, because then other people will see it and be like, hey, what's with this whole Radio Radar thing?
What's this Radio Radar all the kids are talking about?
Yeah.
You're a kid. Talk about it.
So, yeah, that would actually legitimately help us out.
Yeah, give it a rating. Even if you rated it back when it was old
Talk Radar, because we're still on the same feed as that.
Right.
Give it a new rating. It's a brand new day.
Right. So that would help us out.
Yeah, and be sure to check back next week. And if you don't see a podcast again on like Tuesday or Wednesday, do not freak the hell out, because we're probably going to be Fridays.
Bumping it to Friday.
As many people have asked for. Yeah. See, we give you what you want.
That's a more laid-back day.
It is, and I think everyone will enjoy it more, and we will enjoy doing it more, because it's Friday. And who doesn't like Friday?
Well, I'd imagine that we'll be recording on Thursday.
Fuck. All right, we'll see you next week.
Metagame! Which goes better with champagne and caviar?
Is that actually what it says?
What goes better with champagne and caviar?
Of these three games, I don't know what to... I mean, I know what this game is, but I've never played it.
All right, I'm good. I got my champagne and caviar on.
Caviar, if you will.
I won't.
I can't go first.
I will. I'm flipping it. Duck Hunt.
My card's so far away now.
What do you got, Lucas? Lucas has Parappa the Rapper.
Okay.
Which, just for the record, in the picture is a guy smoking a blunt and drinking 40, which I don't think that's champagne or caviar.
So,
Duck Hunt.
Steel Reserve is the champagne of malt liquor.
It is. And you're
I have Centipede.
You have Centipede. So I'll go first with Duck Hunt. So, the act of hunting ducks.
Okay.
Generally speaking, isn't something that, that is done by lower class rubes, like the kind of people that listen to this podcast.
I have a guess where you're going with this.
Generally speaking, it's a refined sport. Hunting, in general, the sport of hunting, is for refined people.
Unless you're using an AK and you're living in, what, Kentucky or something.
Yeah, but I'm not. But that's not what this game is. This game, Duck Hunt, and the picture on here is a duck mounted on the wall.
Whoa.
Duck Hunt is something that you do if you're a refined person.
I'm sorry to everyone who lives in Kentucky. I have not. I'm from Ohio. Okay, so
you racist.
Which is close enough to be able to drop my regionalism.
Yeah, Ohio, and as we've discussed before in the podcast, Western Pennsylvania is all Kentucky.
Right.
But I imagine somebody sipping some nice champagne, popping some bubbly, I believe they call it, eating caviar and all of its salty egg glory, and then pulling out a rifle. And shooting ducks while their bloodhounds
go. You didn't go the right direction.
Yes.
Well, you got to kill the duck to get the foie gras, or however you say it.
You can't just shoot a duck and get foie gras. You need to torture the duck by forcing it to eat liquids or drink liquids and then not pee.
Isn't that not ducks? Isn't that geese?
There's a urine issue with foie gras?
Yeah, that's how it works.
Oh,
you force feed them and force them to eat and drink until their bladder gets huge, and you don't let them. And then you just like
until they get like a urinary tract infection.
I think foie gras, or however you pronounce it, is technically urinary tract infection liver.
Wow, it's French for urinary tract infection.
Foie gras, yes, I believe so. I'm willing to go on record and say that's true. What about you?
UTI.
Yeah, it's foie gras. What about you? How's Parappa the Rapper?
So rappers always talk about living the high life.
Oh, I like this. I like this already.
Pour Cristal instead of champagne. And or maybe they don't. I think
no, Kanye.
Stick with it.
And you know, they will only settle for the finest food once they hit the big time. So obviously Parappa, being the rapper that he is.
Shit, that's good.
Has made it to the top.
That's really good.
And he's living it up.
So you're imagining a music video where Parappa the Rapper is surrounded by women in bikinis.
Yes.
He has, like, he's blinged out beyond belief.
Correct.
Drinking his champagne.
Pouring one out.
Handfuls.
Of caviar.
Shoving.
Got my champ in my hand, my caviar for my bitches.
And then he's shoving just handfuls of caviar into his mouth while he's rapping.
That is the secret level of the PS1 original.
Damn it, that's a good one. How's Centipede?
I got Centipede.
I'm sorry about that, by the way. You should get it checked out by a doctor.
The reason why centipedes are good for caviar and champagne is, like caviar and champagne, centipede starts with a C.